this is Gianni, and we are back here. And I have with me Pastor Fred Coulter. He was kind enough to do the first hour with me. We covered a lot of territory, and we're now doing the second hour. And you can certainly go to his site, and I'm going to let him tell you about his site and what he offers on it and what you might be able to get from there. And then we're going to talk about the Ponzi scam that's going on with Madoff right now and see what he thinks of that. So, Pastor, you want to give out your site and tell my listeners what you have there and what they might be able to get?
Sure. The website is cbcg.org, which means Christian Biblical Church of God. We have over 1,000 sermons there, Bible studies, I think pretty close to 1,400 now. We have downloadable articles, downloadable text. We also have in-depth series in almost every book of the New Testament, going through it verse by verse. We have free books that we will give you, The Day Jesus Christ Died, Lord, What Should I Do?, Cult Holidays or God's Holy Days, Which?, Harmony of the Gospels, Seven General Epistles. We have all of those available, and all you have to do is just go online and ask for it, and we will send it to you free of charge.
That now, sounds great.
Let me just give a quick definition, without going through a lot of scriptures here, of who and what is a true Christian. Okay?
Okay.
Because the world has various ideas about who and what a Christian is or isn't. You know, some people think it's anyone born into a Christian professing family or a Christian by a priest or a minister. Others say a Christian is one who has given his heart to the Lord or is born again, or maybe perhaps one who simply claims to be a Christian. It is impossible, however, for one to live and die. It is rather possible, not impossible, for someone to live and die assuming that he or she is a Christian, only to find out in the judgment that God never recognized their brand of Christianity. Matthew 7 says there will be some raised and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that and didn't we do many wonderful works and cast out demons and things like this? And he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So what really makes a person a Christian, truly? How does God describe a Christian in the Bible, his inspired word? Now, here's what everyone needs to do. They need to diligently study their Bibles to understand the true definition of what a Christian is and to make sure they are indeed true Christians. First thing they will do is have their minds and hearts set to love God the Father and Jesus Christ with all their hearts and all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength. And, of course, on this hangs all the law and the prophets. Then they will be committed to live by every word of God. And as they go through life and as they study the scriptures, they will be proving all things, whether they are so or not. So the key thing about whether one is a Christian or not is you're no longer under the penalty of sin, which means then you need to know what the penalty of sin is. We are saved from permanent death. Christian is the one who's come to realize that he or she has been under that death penalty and in need of the Savior. And you stop and think about it for just a minute, how weak we are as human beings. I mean, we spend a third of our life sleeping. How's that for great importance?
Yeah.
Christians understand that Christ has paid the penalty by dying on the cross when he was completely innocent of any sin. And then Christians learn just what specifically sin is, which is the transgression of God's law. And then the true Christian repents toward God the Father and Jesus Christ, accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for payment of their sins. And repentance means literally a change of mind, attitude, complete change of conduct. In repentance, one truly turns away from the way of sin that leads to death, and begins walking in God's way, the true Christian way of life. Mm-hmm. And that is then living under the grace of God and having our sins forgiven and being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit are all the things which are the gifts of God's grace. God isn't going to give his Spirit to anyone who hasn't repented, professing, oh, I believe in Jesus. Well, what are you doing about it? Or, I believe in God. Or someone will say, well, hey, I don't believe in God, and I lead just as good a life as you do. You know?
Yeah, well...
And that's where we are in the world.
So, you know, let me ask you a question before we talk about the Ponzi scam. If somebody's a Christian and they backslide, they sin, they commit a big sin, actually, salvation is supposed to be permanent, is it not?
Well,
you need to
understand something here. Salvation is permanent as long as you stay in grace with God.
Mm-hmm.
If you commit the unpardonable sin, salvation is gone. If you commit a gross, horrible sin and you repent, there is forgiveness.
Okay.
So that's something that's really, really important to understand. Now, here's something.
Well, how do you divide that sin up then? I mean, is there some sins he will forgive and some he won't?
Well, if you reject God and reject Christ and reject his commandments, reject his authority, reject his laws, yes.
But would you not agree that most people do not uphold the Ten Commandments? They, in their heart, they may want to, Fred, but in honesty, I mean, do you think that everybody holds up all Ten Commandments?
No, because they don't have the Spirit of God and they're not capable of doing it.
Well, but even those who do have the Spirit of God.
Well, then the Spirit of God gives you strength through the washing of the water of the Word, through study, through practice, through repentance, and so forth, to overcome, because Christians are to overcome.
Okay, but would you say that you do not sin? You do not in any way, shape, or form commit any sin, even a little lie?
No, I'm not God. No one is God. It isn't that they're not going to sin. It just is that they can now go to God and have their sins forgiven.
Right, that's my point.
That's right. That's what they have to do. And it gets down to then not only just recognizing overt, outward sins, but to recognize the inward sins. Those that are in the mind, because sin starts in the mind. Lust starts in the mind.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the Ponzi thing, because I do want to cover some other territory we haven't
Good.
Talked about. So tell me what you think is going on with that and where this is going to end up.
Well, I think, let's talk about Bernie Madoff first. Here was a slick man who ripped off some of the richest people in the world to the tune of $50 billion because he was able to work the system to his advantage and have other people convincingly lie for him, and he would lie for himself. And he was absolutely premeditated in scheming, in lying bookkeeping, lying reports, and it was just like the shell game. And finally someone said, pick up all the shells and pay us back.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't have it to pay it back. It's just been a Ponzi scheme.
Mm-hmm.
$50 billion worth. See, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, he was looked upon as a wonderful man, a genius in figuring out how to make money and investments.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened? Wasn't true.
So how is this going to come down? How do you see it, everything ending with this?
Well, I think this. I think that they knew there was an impending financial crisis coming several years ago, and they thought they could handle it. But the problem is they didn't realize how corrupt Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac were. They didn't realize how corrupt all of these investment bankers were. They did not realize how corrupt all the derivative and hedge fund were. They didn't realize how everyone had been cheating and scheming so big, so long, figuring that the bubble would never burst. So when it finally burst, I think that the feds and the treasury and the government were completely, and even the establishment elite behind the scenes who generally control everything, were swept off their feet with this thing. It was so big.
Well, and, I think you're giving them more credit than they deserve. I think they knew all along what they were facing, and I think a lot of it is just a scam. I'm not even convinced, to be honest with you, Fred, that, you know, really all of this exists. I think that the likes of people such as Paulson and, oh, the guy's name just went out of my head. What's his name?
Bernanke.
Henry, yeah, and Henry whatever his name is. I think that this is just more money for them.
Well, let's ask what it's going to lead to.
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
All right. Remember, November 14th and 15th, there was a meeting in Washington, D.C. of the G20.
Right.
Now, let me read this quote to you from the Monk Center, which is at Trinity College in the University of Toronto. And they put out an awful lot on the G20. So if anyone wants to do a Google search, do it and go to the G20. But it says, no one should underestimate the significance of the first G20 meeting at the leaders' level, which will take place on November 14th and 15th, 2008 in Washington, D.C., that the world requires a steering committee that reflects the reality of today's world in order to break the deadlock that has affected so many of the world's significant issues. Now, what this is going to lead to, and if you read all of it, the nugget behind everything that they're talking about here in this whole crisis is world government.
Yeah.
So, now, they can't bring in the world government through the UN because they know it's inept and no one will accept it. So, through this crisis, what they are going to do is create a financial structure worldwide which will bring regulations to 95% of all the world's banking systems coordinated together with regulations that will regulate trades, monetary swaps, credit swaps, default swaps, hedge funds, all of these sort of things. And it will not be anywhere near what it used to be. Now, once they have this structure in place, it will begin gradually expanding. Doesn't that happen with every bureaucracy?
Yep.
Yes, indeed. So, remember the saying by Rothschild. He said, I don't care who runs the government, let me control the money. So if they set it up and control the world global financial system through this G20 structure that they are building, and it was already set and ready to go on November 14th and 15th, it wasn't just, oh, everybody, let's come together and have some ideas. No, everybody come together, here are the new regulations for everybody in the whole world, we're going to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
See, now they have the structure there, then they will start bringing in the world government.
Well, I think world government, actually, Fred, is already here. I just don't think we're labeling it that way, and I also think that it's not 100% in, but I think that the beginnings of it are here. And, you know, as soon as they take over the government entirely, they're going to come out with a one-world religion. And that prompts me to ask you, what do you think that one world religion will be?
Well, it's going to be an amalgamation of all. I have at home here, I've got, it's called the World Scriptures.
Hmm.
So they've been working at this for a long time. As a matter of fact, if you go back, it actually started back in 1893 with the world's first parliament of world's religions.
Yeah, but the world government started actually in 1776 when Adam Weishaupt put it in.
Weishaupt, that wraps up with the Jesuits, the Illuminati, and the Zionists all together, and Masons all in one big thing.
All right, in your mind, when you say Zionists, are you saying Zionists are Jews or Zionists are any race, religion of people who are fighting for a cause. What does the term Zionist mean to you? Is it a negative connotation to you?
Well, they have done some good things. They have done some other things. It's like one man said when I commented about the financial situation. You know, we just talked about Madoff. Well, he's a Jew. Okay?
Right.
So I was talking about the international financial things and the Rothschilds. And so he sent me an email from England and said, well, you know, it's the Catholics that's doing it. I said, oh, that's wonderful to know. Can you please send me a copy of Nathan Rothschild's Catholic baptism certificate? Then I'll believe you.
Yeah, well, I know that the Jesuits take a big hit for this, and, you know.
Of course they're in it.
Yeah.
The Jews are in it. The Jesuits are in it. Some of the Protestants are in it. The internationalists are in it. All of the secret organizations are in it.
How
the CFRs, they're all in it.
The Pope?
Of course. Big time.
Okay, so then let's taking that one more, because you said about the secret societies, and I do a lot of talks on the secret societies and one world government. From a lot of the research that I've done, Fred, it comes up that Obama is a CFR member. He's a Mason. And he did not come out of nowhere. He did have roots that intertwine with the government very deeply, both the Kenyan government and the United States government.
Yes, he actually helped get $1 million for the communist leader to take over Kenya.
Right. So we're not getting somebody who isn't connected to you know, the White House. This man has lots of connections. He belongs to secret societies. This has been kept secret as well. So what I'm wondering then is, do you see, let's just kind of extrapolate for the fun of it. You said he's not the Antichrist. I have no idea if he's the Antichrist either, Fred, but let's play with this for a minute. Does the Antichrist have to have Jewish roots?
Not necessarily, no.
I thought in the Bible someplace it said that.
No, no. He comes out of a system called the mystery of lawlessness.
Okay.
Now, here is a description of the final Antichrist. Okay? And here's a warning by Paul. Now we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you do not be quickly shaken in mind, nor be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us, saying that the day of Christ is present. And that's the current terminology that they use for the New Age Christ. And sometimes he's called Maitreya.
Yeah.
And
Maitreya, yeah.
Maitreya. And this is what is now being promulgated on Oprah Winfrey's website.
Oh, don't even go there with that woman.
Okay, but I'm just saying that's part of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, verse 3 here. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means, because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. Now, this is a full-fledged rebellion against God, and that's where we're headed. It's not there, but that has to be completed first. And the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is he? Now, there have been many men of sin. There have been many sons of perdition. Verse 4 says, the one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God, which has to be built in Jerusalem, which maybe it probably shows he's not a Jew, and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God.
The defamation.
That's right. See, the abomination of desolation.
Mm-hmm.
See, now he said, remember, I told you these things. So he says, I want you to understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. So there's a set time for this man to come on the scene. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working. started clear back in the days of Paul. Only there is one who is restraining, that is Christ, at the present time, until it arises out of the midst of the mystery of lawlessness. And then the lawless one shall be revealed. And he will be revealed by what he has said he does, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved.
All right, let's go back to my little hypothesis here, okay?
All right.
I said does the Antichrist have to be Jewish? She said, no, not necessarily. And then at the top of the show, I said, could he be the Antichrist? And he said, no, he's not the Antichrist. How do we know he's not? I mean, let's just picture this for a minute. He gets into office, and he does this miraculous thing with the economy. So the first 3.5 years, we're back on a high again, and we're rolling, and the money is good, and everybody's feeling good, and people are going around saying peace and safety and, you know. And then, boom, we hit that 3.5 year period, and he changes his colors. And he certainly divorces Israel, and here we are, we're on the roll now for the last 3.5 years. Is that not a feasible picture?
No, not with Obama.
Okay.
Now, we may have an economic resurgence, but remember, he has to go into the temple of God, which has yet to be built in Jerusalem. He has to declare himself that he is God. He is greater than any object of worship. Now, let's look at the final thing here in Revelation 13, which he's going to do.
But why can it not be Obama? I'm not saying it is, Fred, but I'm trying to get your opinion why it definitely could not be he.
Well, at the present time, it is not he. Since he's only 44, he's got a long way to live, so we'll have to wait and see. But I'm not saying that he possibly is, because here's what has to happen. When he opens his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name and tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven, Revelation 13:6, and he was given power to make war against the saints and overcome them, and he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. So this is universal world authority. Obama does not have that. And I don't think he has a personality capable of doing it at the present time.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him because he says he's God.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things to look to. So we can't say it's this man or it's that man. We have to look and say, oh, let's look at this man. Does he fit the Bible description? If he does, he is. If he doesn't, he just may be a corrupt politician like all the rest.
So you're saying, then, you don't think Obama fits the description?
No, he hasn't done that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can't even answer a question concerning whether his staff spoke with Blagojevich or not.
Blagojevich?
That's how you pronounce it, Blagojevich.
What's he call himself? Blagojevich.
Blagojevich. That's easier to do. So they just shortened it.
Yeah.
Someone asked, who does he remind you of? And they had various people.
I know who he reminds me of.
Who?
Back where I live, we have a place called Eaton Park. And on Eaton Park is the big boy. And the big boy looks just like Blagojevich.
Oh, okay. Someone told me, who is a little older, said, well, it reminds me of Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody is a little bit before my time, but I've seen pictures of him. But did Howdy Doody have red hair, though, really?
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you.
So what do we do here, But, I mean, I think that we're certainly in end times, but as you pointed out, the end times could be a long period. Do you see that we're going to have, are things going to turn around in our country, or do you think the Lord is just going to let us continually fall? Is he going to restrain the evil to a certain extent, or what?
No, he won't restrain the evil unless people begin to restrain the evil by their choices. They have to stop the evil in their lives. Individually, personally, everyone has to.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can't say, oh, well, it's this guy, or else, well, that guy. Oh, well, it's the Pope. Oh, well, no, it's this evangelist. Oh, no, it's this rabbi. Oh, no, it's this preacher over here. No, it's not just your neighbor. Maybe he has his problem. It's not the one who lives across the city. It is you, mm-hmm. Every individual.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, Fred, and then we're going to come back. Listeners, we're coming right back.
Want to know if your kids are experimenting or abusing drugs and alcohol? Then test them. American Drug Testing Consultants offers all types of in-home drug testing kits. Our most popular is the Parents Program, which contains an alcohol swab, a detailed manual on everything you want to know about drugs, a family pledge, a 24-hour phone helpline, and other literature. The included drug test detects for amphetamine, methamphetamine, THC, opiates, barbiturates, benzodiazepines, PCP, methadone, ecstasy. Results are given in the privacy of your home in 5 minutes. You can also buy the 10-panel drug test separately from the entire kit. Contact American Drug Testing Consultants at 410-543-0448 or go to americandtc.com. That's americandtc.com or email info@americandtc.com. We ship globally.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices rose near $870 an ounce Wednesday after the Fed slashed rates, pushing the dollar to three-month lows. Gold closed up $9.90 to $867.40. Silver rose 15 cents to $11.36. The trigger for the gold price to rise again could come from a much weaker dollar and a renewed aversion to paper assets as governments and central banks pump large amounts of cash into the economy. More at SwissAmerica.com.
Recession, inflation, market volatility, what do you do to protect your money? Call Swiss America to send you a free education on gold investing. Gold offers you safety, liquidity, and excellent profit potential. Gold is the only asset that's not someone else's liability. The DVD, booklet, and newsletter are free. The knowledge you'll gain is invaluable.
Call Swiss America toll-free at 800-289-2646. That spells 800-BUYCOIN. 800-289-2646. 800-BUYCOIN.
Vitamin E prevents internal blood clots, but not all vitamin E is equal. Would you like to get a vitamin E that makes blood flow more smoothly than Plavix, but with no harmful side effects? Four Spectrum Natural Unesterified Vitamin E Complex has been called WD-40 for your blood. It actually lubricates the blood while it dissolves plaque. It prevents platelet aggregation and internal clotting. It neutralizes smoke, fumes, waste, and other harmful free radicals. Doctors report relief from angina, painful leg cramps, strokes, fibrocystic breast tumors, circulation problems, and much more. Get one bottle for $35 postpaid, two bottles for only $60 postpaid. Restore this vital nutrient removed from your food supply through food processing. Read more at 4spectrum.us, spelled number 4spectrum.us. Call 800-581-8906. That's 800-581-8906. Order today.
All right, listeners, this is Dr. Gianni Hayes, and I am back with Pastor Fred Coulter, and we're making conversation here about Obama and a variety of other things. But, you know, Fred, at the top of the show, I had read to you something about from an email that I had received, and I probably wasn't very clear on it because a person has written back to me and helped me to understand with a little bit more clarity about what she was commenting on. And if I could just read a section of this, and it's kind of some of the things we already talked about, but it makes it a little bit clearer this time around. So let me see if I can find the place here where she writes this. Okay, here it is. Bear with me one second, Fred.
Okay.
It says, We are not under either the Old Covenant or the New Covenant today, as both of those were for Israel when God called out Abraham and told him he'd make of him a great nation. And then when God led Abraham's descendants out of Egypt, he was making for himself a special treasure, a peculiar people. He gave the law exclusively to them to make them just that. He did not give the Mosaic law to the whole human race. Nowhere does the Bible say that the Sabbath especially was to make Israel a peculiar people unto him. I'm sorry. Nowhere does the Bible say that, period. The Sabbath especially was to make Israel a peculiar people unto him. Gentiles who wanted to partake of the blessings Israel had would have to join themselves to Israel by being circumcised and learning to keep laws. So she's made this clear, or at least I understand a little bit better.
Okay, well, again, I will tell her if she wants to know, then she can write for the book Cold Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, first of all, she has an error in her basic presumption. We are under the new covenant. There was a covenant with Abraham. There was a covenant with Israel. There's a covenant with the church, and that's what it is. When the Passover is taken, take the blood of Christ, that's the blood of the covenant, to eat his body, is for the forgiveness of sins, and also showing that we are to live by every word of God. So she has some basic Protestant theology all mixed up and misconstrued in the Bible, and not knowing what it says. So if she has the New Testament, I encourage her to go read what do you mean by works of law and what are works of law. And if you want to go online, go to the Jewish Publishing Company in Rockaway or wherever it is in New York and order yourself a code of Jewish law and read it, and you'll understand what it's talking about. All the commandments were given not only to Israel, they were also given so that the whole world could learn of God through his laws and commandments. So her basic premise is not true. It's showing that she has a well-worn trail that she walks through the Bible in, rejecting this and rejecting that, when, you know, you're not going to understand about God if you start throwing away this commandment, that commandment, this saying, that commandment, or it was for the Jews, it was for the Gentiles. Listen, God's laws are for everyone. Wouldn't it be nice if everyone had the right God? If no one made any idols or statues and bowed down to them, and everyone loved God and kept his commandments? Wouldn't it be nice if no one took the Lord's name in vain, especially all the ministers in the pulpits every Sunday? Wouldn't it be nice if everyone would keep the Sabbath? Wouldn't it be nice if all children would honor their fathers and mothers? Wouldn't it be nice if there was no murder or adultery or thievery or false witnessing or lusting and coveting? Now, those are for all of mankind, though he gave them to Israel first. So I just have to say to that poor lady or woman, you're just grossly mistaken, and you're clinging to a doctrine that doesn't make sense when you really understand the Bible.
Okay, listeners, if you'd like to call in, it's 1-800-433-1429, and I hope that nice woman calls in so that she can express herself better than I expressed for her. So,
okay.
1-800-433-1429.
Gianni.
Yes.
I've got to read this to you concerning the economy.
All right.
Okay. Quote, the budget should be balanced, the treasury should be refilled, public debt should be reduced. The arrogance of official officialdom should be tempered and controlled, and the assistance to foreign lands should be curtailed, lest Rome become bankrupt. People must again learn to work instead of living on public assistance, and that includes chariot makers. Cicero, 55 BC.
I knew you were going to do that, Fred. I could tell. okay, we pretty much covered that part of it, and I'm glad that we did. But
okay,
let's, you know, we were talking about this whole issue of where this our world is headed, and you know, I think it's a concern to everybody. But I'm trying to find this other question that I had, but there was something that you said I wanted to follow up on, but I was listening so closely what you said I forgot what I was going to do. It had to do with when we were talking about the Ponzi scam. It'll come to me.
Okay.
Let's go ahead, Fred.
Okay. Now, let me just tell all the readers, everybody involved, all the listeners, please read Deuteronomy 28 and ask the question. When you come, it's the chapter on the blessings and cursings. Now, this applies to any land. This applies to any country. Please understand that, though it was given to Israel first. Now, ask yourself the question, are these things taking place with us today? And you'd have to conclude, yes, they are, because they do not keep the commandments of God. God says you'll be cursed in the city, cursed in the field, cursed in the basket if you do not observe to do all his commandments and statutes, which I tell you today. These are going to come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your livestock and flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Is that happening? The Lord shall make the pestilence cling to you.
All right, let me ask you something, Fred. You know, they're going to go to an ID system here very soon. And I certainly will not take it in my hand or forehead. I will go to my desk, refuse.
Yes.
But if they come up with something that is not in your hand or forehead, are you going to accept it?
If it's not in your hand or in your forehead, that is the last thing that anyone who believes in God and believes that the mark of the beast is of Satan the devil, that is the last thing that you can tolerate or accept.
Okay, so if it's not there, then it's okay to accept it. So if they want to put an RFID tag around our neck, would you accept that?
No.
So where do you draw the line on that, Fred?
If they want to give me a credit card type thing, that's fine. That's it. What they want to do is put the chip in your hand and in
Absolutely.
Your forehead.
Absolutely, right. They do.
And it's total control. Now, if you haven't read the book, The Singularity is Near by Kurzweil, I forget his first name now, Ray Kurzweil, they want to hook people up to computers. They want to have them, the minds programmed with computers. They want to know where you are, what you're doing, everything about you through computers, and it is coming. They are doing research big time, massive research on how to do it, but they haven't figured out how to put it in the human body to be able to give it the power that it needs and so that it is not rejected.
Mm-hmm.
See, they haven't figured that out. Remember the digital angel that they insert into people?
Right.
They're now finding that it can cause cancer. So they have many problems they have to overcome, but they will do it.
Okay, we've got a caller. Caller, what is your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Deborah, and I'm calling from Mena, Wisconsin.
Well, hello, Deborah.
Hi, Gianni, and hi, Pastor Coulter. I've been enjoying the program.
Yes.
Seeing as you've been talking about my email.
Okay.
I wasn't going to say that was you, Deb.
Well, that's okay.
All right. I don't know.
Well, you asked her to call.
I don't.
I took you up on that challenge, even though I'm pretty scared.
Oh, no, no. Listen, we're nice people. Say, go ahead.
I know
and feel
that.
Free to talk.
Right. I think that when you did quote from my email, you inadvertently left out the most important point I was trying to make, in that we are under a different gospel in this dispensation of grace given exclusively to the Apostle Paul.
No, that's not true.
For this age of grace.
No,
it's
that's not true.
A different gospel than what Jesus Christ was preaching when he was in his earthly ministry to Israel.
No, that is complete fabricated theology that is not true.
You can't
absolutely
find the shed blood
true.
In the four gospels whatsoever.
Pardon?
They did not put their faith in Jesus Christ's shed blood, his burial, or his resurrection as we do.
Where did you get your theology?
Gospels.
This is utter nonsense.
Right out of the Bible.
No, you didn't. You did
what
not get it out of the Bible.
What gospel was Jesus Christ preaching when he
now, came just
to
a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. What did Jesus say here? You say the gospels were only for the Jews. Now, let me read you something here at the end of the book of Matthew, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." That's the Gospels. "And lo, I am with you always, even until the completion of the age." Now, that is a command to go from the time of Christ's ascension until his return, and that goes to all nations. That's just not Israel. And Paul did not come along and supersede or have a so-called progressive revelation where now no baptism is required. No.
1 Corinthians 1:17.
Pardon?
1 Corinthians 1:17, where Paul says, "I was not sent to baptize," so apparently he wasn't under that Great Commission. He had a different commission to teach the gospel.
You're misinterpreting that.
And we have Galatians 2:9, where they had their gentlemen's agreement.
Hold on. I know exactly what you've done. You've taken a scripture clearly out of context, and you operate theology by subtraction. Now,
rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy.
No, you're not. Let me rightly divide it for you. Paul came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples who had been baptized under the baptism of John. Okay?
Acts 19?
Yeah, Acts 19.
Right. Well,
okay,
would...
and after hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them.
Amen.
Yes, they were baptized. Paul baptized. But when he came to Corinth, hold on.
The transition from one gospel to the other.
Pardon?
The fall of Israel in the book of Acts takes place in the book of Acts. So,
what are you talking about?
It was like a transition from one to the other. John or Paul was just he was just acknowledging that they were under the kingdom program.
No, ma'am, I'm sorry. You have to rightly divide the Word of God. You have got to take all the Word of God. You can't go and pick and choose and say Paul had a more enlightened gospel than Jesus.
He had
Jesus
a different
was Christ
gospel than Jesus.
And he was God in the flesh. Paul preached Christ. You read that right there in 1 Corinthians
right.
That you quoted. See, he
Why
didn't
did the risen
send,
Lord make a special trip back to earth to tell Paul something? Why didn't Paul just learn it from the 12 apostles? In Acts 1:8, it gives the order that the apostles were to take the kingdom gospel to people, and it would start in Jerusalem.
And it would go to the whole world. That's correct.
That is the order that it was supposed to go in. That's why Peter doubted
but
when
God sent
him to Cornelius.
But it didn't change. You see, you have a slip of your hydromatic gear thinking. See? You're saying that there is a change. It's no change. You have to teach what Jesus taught. He taught Paul because none of the Jewish apostles would have anything to do with him. It's simple. And he had a mission for him to go to the Gentiles to preach Christ and him crucified and
went
for
right
baptism
to the Jews, right
and repentance and living under grace.
If the Lord would have told Paul to go to the apostles, I'm sure that they would have accepted him, seeing as they were empowered by the Holy Spirit.
He went to them.
Paul says in Galatians 1 and 2 that he did not consult with flesh and blood.
Immediately, but he went up there. You've got to read all of it. Ma'am, you need to read all of it.
Okay, Jesus Christ came to tell Israel that their kingdom was at hand.
Yes, and it's going to come to the whole world. It's not going to come just to Israel.
Okay, let's let her finish her thought so we know where she's going.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Deborah.
Right, and the Old Testament prophesied, he was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, where the Old Testament prophesied that the Gentiles would be saved through the rise of Israel when they were in their kingdom. That's when the Gentiles were to be invited, Isaiah 60, 1 through 6. And when the Lord set Israel aside for their failure to accept their Messiah, then he changed the whole program and went to the Gentiles apart from Israel, and despite their fall.
You're wrong. He was to go to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. You're absolutely wrong.
Well, Paul did that out of respect for and love for his own people.
No, he was told to go to them.
Right. They needed to hear the gospel of grace just as much as we do today. Because now that was the gospel
now,
that
you
was
see, you're reasoning in a circle, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Well,
you're reasoning
you like
in a circle.
Can you find in the Old Testament anywhere where it says that the Gentiles would be approached apart from Israel? Apart from them having a preeminence and being placed into their kingdom? Paul says that was a mystery hidden God since before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 3:9
no.
And Romans 16:25.
You got everything all confused. You got everything all confused, ma'am. I'm sorry. I don't know what church you go to.
I'm familiar with the Worldwide Church of God's plain truth type doctrine. I almost fell for it when I first became a believer, but it's just legalistic. It's not great.
No, this is not Worldwide Church of God. These are the truths from the Bible.
Well, you're still keeping the Sabbath and promoting all the feast days and the laws.
That's the only day God made holy. How can you make anything holy? Tell me. Are you a sinner? Yes. Can you make anything holy? How can Constantine, the pagan emperor in 325, make Sunday the holy day for Christians? That's an impossibility.
Every day is a holy day for Christians.
No, there's no such thing as every day is a holy day. God only made
one
day holy.
We've rested from our labors.
Ma'am,
we're resting in
Christ. I don't know what theology you are involved in.
We don't need a Sabbath.
Hey, absolutely, you need a Sabbath because Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath.
And he was talking to Israel when he said that. It was a sign between God and man.
What did I read you in Matthew 28?
The Great Commission?
Yes. What did I read you? Go and teach them everything that I have taught you. All nations are not the nations, the Gentiles. Yes. He taught them. They were to keep the Sabbath. If you really would study the Bible properly and rightly divided, you would find that Paul always kept the Sabbath, even with Gentiles. So, I don't know where you got your theology.
I think he said that he was afraid of those that gave respect to holy days and different rituals and ordinances.
Oh, no. I tell you what,
afraid for them.
You go on our website and you order the book, Cold Holidays or God's Holy Days, which we'll send it to you and it'll answer all those questions.
Believe me, I've read all this stuff. I have friends who are Seventh-day Adventists. I've been to their church. And the thing is that when Christ gave the Great Commission, he was talking to Israel, but in Acts
that's not
7,
true.
When the
that's
Israel leader stoned Stephen,
that's
he interrupted
true.
Israel's prophetic program. Because the tribulation was right around the corner if he hadn't interrupted it. That's what Christ was preparing his disciples for.
Well,
that's why he said, sell all your possessions, give alms. He was preparing them to go through the tribulation. And it didn't happen, and that's because God raised up Paul with a new gospel.
Ma'am.
Sorry. What would you like to say?
Ma'am, I am sorry. I am sorry that whoever got a hold of you and taught you these things really has done you a great, great disservice.
Oh, amen, hallelujah. I bless the day that I learned about fighting the word of truth.
Then obviously you're a free moral agent. You can choose what you want to choose. And We choose the Bible and the Word of God rightly divided. You want to cut it up just like these subprime mortgages and make salad out of it and create a monstrosity that's unworkable.
Okay, well, I would caution you to be sure that you trust Christ completely for your salvation without adding any of your own merit.
I'm not adding any of my own merit, ma'am.
You will spend eternity with Him.
Well, I am sorry, I'm not adding.
If you make convoluted statements like if you don't keep the Sabbath, if you're not repentant, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're not going to be saved.
That's correct.
You're not trusting that Christ paid for your sins.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct because you haven't stopped sinning. And you're not going to be saved in your sins. You have to be saved from your sins.
And that's why we have the Holy Spirit.
Well, the Holy Spirit is to guide us so we don't sin. And we keep the commandments in the Spirit. I'm sorry that you have been so...
And produce the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes, indeed. We do produce the fruit of the Spirit.
But can I ask a question? Thanks. Where do the two of you stand on this so-called pre-tribulation rapture? I'm asking both Deborah and you, Fred.
There are a few who will be taken to a place of safety, which is not a rapture. The rapture is not going to happen. Christ is going to appear in a great and fantastic way. It's going to shake the heavens and shake the earth right in the middle of the tribulation.
I pray that you aren't there on that day.
Pardon?
Because anybody who's left standing on that day is going to be judged.
Okay. Okay. You really have it all twisted, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you real quick, do you believe in a pre-trib rapture?
I certainly do. It's our blessed hope that Paul told us about. It's part of the mystery of, you know, the revelation of the mystery that was given to Paul. It's one of our all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that we're not appointed to wrath.
Man, you have sure added an awful lot to the Bible, ma'am. I'm very sorry for
I'm quoting right from the Bible.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
God's beef is with Israel. They're still undergoing the punishments that were listed in Leviticus 26. That
Listen,
has nothing
ma'am.
To do with us. The Gentiles didn't do any of that.
The Gentiles have done worse. Go to India. Go to China. Go to Russia.
Okay, now
they have done worse. Down through history.
2 Corinthians 5:19.
Okay.
That to wit, God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So the whole world's sins are forgiven.
All right, guys, I got to wrap this up. Deborah, thanks for calling.
Thank you. It's been fun. Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Ma'am, I'm glad you called, but again, I feel sorry for you.
Oh, Fred. Thanks, Deborah. Fred.
What?
You were hard on her.
Oh, I wasn't hard on her.
I mean, I don't understand what the two of you, what the bone of contention was, other than I know that she believes. I mean, we're trying to sort this out here in, you know, all of our minds is what was this bone between the two of you? She's saying that I believe that the Old Testament was for the Israelites of that time. And you're saying that those laws still apply to us. Do I have that right? Is that what you guys were asking?
Yes, because the laws of God are the laws of God. And though he gave them to Israel first, he intends it to go to all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. And it's very simple in that one verse, go into all the world, making disciples of in every nation, those are the Gentiles, teaching them everything that I have taught you. Now, you can't separate out the Gospels and say, oh, we don't need those today. You can't come along and say that Paul usurped Christ and he has a more improved gospel. All he did was expand upon the teachings of Christ, as Christ led him to teach that. They're all in conformity with the laws and commandments of God. So no one can get away from keeping commandments of God. If there weren't any commandments, then there's no sin. If there's no sin, then there's no judgment. If there's no judgment, then there are no calamities.
All right. Well, you know, Fred, I have to agree with you on a pre-trib because I, for a long time, believed in the pre-trib rapture. And the more I studied it, the more I realized, well, I'm not so sure this is truly biblical. I don't think it's scriptural. And so I'm certainly in the same seat with you on that one. I hope there is, and I hope that I'm of value to be taken up, but I kind of think that we are going to all go through this except for that 144,000. And I don't know, you're welcome to comment on that.
Well, there is not going to be any great rapture, and the 144,000 are going to be saved out of great tribulation. So they will go through part of it.
Mm-hmm.
See? And they are not taken up at the time that they are sealed. They remain on the earth until the resurrection takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have sermons on that. People can go online and download them, listen to them. Let me remind everyone, be sure and get a Cult Holidays or God's Holy Days switch.
Yeah, you know what, listeners? That's a really dynamic book. And if you get the opportunity, please go online and get it because you'll read it in one sitting, really. It's just a really good book. The site has lots of good stuff there as well. So, yeah, please go to Fred's site. And Fred, you want to give that out again?
Yes, www.cbcg.org, and the initials stand for Christian Biblical Church of God.
So, Fred, what do you think about Hillary being in the office there with the old Obama guy?
Well, it could make a great movie on intrigue.
Listen, Fred, you have a blessed holiday.
Okay.
And
take care now.
And thanks for coming on my show, Fred.
Thanks for having me on.
I always enjoy it.
Okay, you bet.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Listeners, stay tuned next week.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bill Clayton and I and Frank Stephan and Ted Gunderson and a couple other people are going to be doing the show, so come on over next week. Thank you all. Good night. God bless and Merry Christmas.
Just a minute.